Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Grand Rising, and thank all of you for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are so pleased to share information with you today, and we'll be joined by our co-host Kareem Hamid to talk about this topic for today. We want to look at a new definition of marriage. Does infidelity really matter? If you have a greater reason for being together, is it all about owning someone's body? Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will gladly add you to this conversation. It's really time for us to redefine this relationship called marriage so that it really works for the good of all. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Poussin. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Strategy with John. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back, and I believe we are joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want to thank Grand Rising and Assalamu Alaikum. Peace be upon you all for joining us today on The Female Solution.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu Alaikum. Naima Latif. I was alerted that my mic was on mute in my formal opening, but anyway, I greet the listening audience with the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum and Eid Mubarak, the peace that only Almighty God can give, and may we all have a blessed Eid, a blessed celebration after the blessed month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. I trust that everyone is well, and we begin another chapter of our life. Praise be to Allah. Allah erases all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, and we begin another walk in this life. Alhamdulillah. We are grateful for Almighty God's mercy and for the blessed month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran was revealed. Praise be to Allah. So how are you feeling this morning, Naima Latif?
Well, I am absolutely wonderful. So grateful to be here on another day. And for those who may not be aware, of course, over the past month, that has been the celebration of the month of Ramadan. And the process is to purify oneself with daily fast, which lasts 30 days, the entire month, and in the morning, reading the holy book, the Holy Quran, and giving some insight and reflection on the verses. So 1/30th of the book is read every morning, and this is what our American Muslim 360 family has been engaged in over the past month. So our co-host, of course, after performing that task, has been joining us on the shows, and now we've finished the month, had the great celebration of Eid on this past Monday all around the world, which is really a wonderful feeling of solidarity with a global family that is rededicating itself to higher principles of living, and that's what it's all about. And so we are grateful for having experienced what sometimes feels almost like a rebirth. You know, a rededication.
It is.
Yeah. So,
you know, Naima?
Yes.
If I may, there are many Christians and many Jews that that join us in the celebration.
Yes.
There are some that even join us in the fast. Almighty God says to us that fasting is prescribed for you as it was for those that came before you. So fasting is not a new thing. The Christians, they have fasted before us. The Jews have had days of fast. And then the Quran was revealed, and here the Muslims, those that observe the religion, al-Islam, we join them in the prescription that Almighty God has prescribed for us. We fast during the daylight hours. It's not 24 hours a day. Praise to Allah. It's only from sunrise to sunset We do not eat food, nor drink liquid, nor do we have sex with our lawful wives, our partners. But we are to exhibit and display the best of our human and moral character during that blessed month and beyond. And the reading of the Quran is a blessing and a vitalization of us as human beings. All of the scriptures are designed to benefit us, and so we work together. We join together with our religious family. So it's also a coming together. What can I say? Praise be to Almighty God, Allah, for the Ramadan fast. And what we celebrate at the Eid, it is called Eid al-Fitr. Fitr means your original human nature. It is through this prescription of fasting and reading of Almighty God's life-giving words that we return back to the original nature that Almighty God have placed within each and every last one of us. So we celebrate that, the Eid. Eid means a recurring happiness, a recurring happiness. Fitra means the original nature that Almighty God has placed within us, and we are able to achieve that by our fasting and diligent reading and studying of the Quran, Allah says to us in the Quran, Alimul Quran Khalaqa Insan, that he taught the Quran, being created the man. So words are very valuable. Words carry, especially the words of Almighty God. We let those words form us, inside of us, our spirit, our soul, our heart, and our consciousness. And we return back to that original nature that Almighty God placed within Adam, our father Adam. So praise be to Allah. We are grateful to Allah for such a wonderful gift each and every year that we can return back to that innocence, that honesty, that purity of intent and purity of our hearts and our soul, and I pray that we maintain that throughout the rest of the year. Praise be to Allah. I'm grateful for the month of Ramadan.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting that the understanding is our original nature is one of purity,
yeah,
which lets us know that we are not born with a propensity for bad. Now, we can be misguided in the course of our experience, but our nature is a reflection of our Creator. So all the things that we have ingested mentally and physically, it's like a purging of those things, which is what, when you fast, you're getting rid of a lot of things in your body that may be toxic, that may be unhealthy. You give your body a chance to cleanse itself. And the same thing with your spirit. You need to purge yourself of all of those things, ideas, behaviors, attitudes that are toxic to your spirit. So it is a cleansing in mind, body, and spirit, so that you can return to your original nature of purity. And when we can all do that, what a wonderful world we would have. Wouldn't we just have the most beautiful time if everyone lived in a permanent state of love, of compassion, of appreciation for each other? That's really the goal. And that's even for those who make the Hajj every year, and we will see that later on this year, those who participate in a ceremony which is symbolic of the unity of humanity. And again, it's a state of mind that we're striving to live in as a state of being all the time. So it's a wonderful thing to experience it and to know that ultimately this is what we all are striving to evolve to, that permanent state of love, kindness, empathy, cooperation, well-being. That's really our nature. So, Brother Karamian, look at this. You know, we look at...
You are awesome. Go ahead, pardon me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had a thought. I don't want you to lose it. Go ahead.
That word that you just used, well-being. Alhamdulillah, well-being. Being well, being healthy in our natural human state, a spirit of well-being, of being well. And we are well when we operate on the original innocent, honest nature that Almighty God placed within us. No corruption, yeah. No deceit. Just loving one another. You know, you can't do this work. Matter of fact, you can't function well in this world now if you do not have a love for humanity. A love for humanity. And that is what we return back to. And that is what we seek. The oneness of the human family once more.
That's right.
Now stop with that.
Wonderful. Well, there are many who are aware that what is happening in this wonderful world that we live in, this beautiful planet that we inhabit, many are aware that there is a transformation happening in which the very vibration of the planet itself is changing to reflect that in which we are all living in that state of well-being, of being well in mind, body, and spirit, of being at peace in mind, body, and spirit. And just like we go through the fast to purge what is within us that may be unhealthy, and give ourselves a chance to restore ourselves to our natural state, Mother Earth herself is going through a purging process to restore herself to that natural state of purity. And, you know, once you've gone through a cleanse, when your body's gone through a cleanse, you can't put anything unhealthy back in it without getting sick, because your body is no longer adjusting to toxins. And they've gone through a certain kinds of cleanse. They can't throw the junk food and the sugary soft drink beverages down their gullet without feeling some extreme uncomfortableness, because their body is no longer adjusted to the toxic nature of bad food once they've purged themselves of it. And this is what's happening in our world. It's being purged of that which is unloving, unkind, uncompassionate, anything that's not based in the natural purity and loving energy of the Creator is falling apart. And that includes many of our institutions that we have adjusted to, just like our bodies adjusted to bad food, even though it was toxic. Well, we're seeing things fall apart. We're seeing our financial institutions fall apart. We're seeing our educational institutions fall apart. We're even seeing our social institutions fall apart. And it's because they were toxic. They were not built on the pristine purity of love from the Creator. And so it's time for them to be purged so that we can rebuild a healthier body. It includes the body of humanity in cooperation with all other life forms on this wonderful planet upon which we live and are borrowing for our physical experience, but do not have the right to destroy. Seeing, even in the most long-term institutions that we have had, we're seeing them begin to crumble. And many people worry, well, does that mean that life is going to end as we know it? Well, we've had predictions throughout the ages, through all of our religions, that there's going to be a time when we reach the end of a spiritual season and things are going to end and then they're going to begin again in a better way, a new earth. We've been promised a new earth for a long time, and we've been given the signs of when it's coming and how things will begin to fall apart, and we'll begin to see families fall apart. We'll begin to see institutions fall apart. We'll begin to see natural disasters, and we'll begin to see these things. But the earth is purging itself of this negative energy that we've had for too long in preparation for the new earth, just as we prepare to go through a new birth after the month of Ramadan. So this is a good thing that we're seeing, because at the end of it, something new will emerge, something that is more in harmony.
Naima, I'm really proud of the young minds that are making their presence felt in this environment. It says, a child shall lead them. The new universal young mind that is questioning the past systems. There is a need for reform. Everything that we have based our life upon is in the process of reformation.
Yeah.
These are known as the last days. As a child, I used to think, oh, well, the world is going to, you know, the earth is going to go away. Well, it will. But what we're speaking of now is bringing into existence a new way of, a new pattern of thinking,
yeah.
A new pattern of behavior, not based upon the biases and the corruption of the old world. See, we have to admit the old world. When we look back at it, it was not based on equality. It was not based on the value of every human being.
Absolutely.
And those systems, those institutions and systems that was constructed from out of that thinking. We look back at those systems and we see it is flawed.
Yes.
Let me say this too concerning the month of Ramadan. It is to also put us back in touch with and reflect on those that have less than we do.
Yeah.
The fast is a voluntary fast. And you feel the hunger pain. You feel the thirst. But there are people that are under those same hunger pain, that same thirst. And it's not voluntarily. It is because the lack of sustenance. This is what the poor and oppressed feel daily. So it should put us back in touch with that, and we should improve upon relieving suffering humanity. So this is another connection, another value of the fast. There are people that are that around the earth that feel those hunger pains continuously. And we are to be in touch with them and seek ways to relieve their suffering. One of the most scarce resources on the earth is, guess what? It is drinkable, pure water. There are processes now called salination. It can turn salt water into drinkable, pure water. There are processes that can capture moisture from out of the air, and it condenses and turns into pure, drinkable water. This is all Almighty God's mercy to us that we're able to do these things. So, yes, we celebrate, this is Allah putting us in touch with those that don't have what we have, and we are to be in service to humanity, and so we join with the spiritual family. Muslims, Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Hindus, Baha'i, whatever. And we seek to alleviate the suffering of humanity. And Ramadan brings us that to our consciousness every year. And we ought to increase our charitable work, our charitable giving. So that's another purpose of the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
So that we can identify other people that are suffering. Thank you, ma'am.
And that's a critical point, because our ultimate aim has to be to remove the suffering and remove the inequality and remove the lack of access to something as basic as drinkable water. You need water for life. So we need to empathize with those who are involuntarily not eating or drinking because they don't have access to it, so that we can fix the problem. And it's designed to recall that empathy that we must feel for each other in order to create a society that is fair and just and equitable. So this is a critical point. And if we're lacking in empathy, then we won't change the problem that creates the inequality. We have to feel the suffering so that we can choose to remove it. And this is what makes this such a wonderful time, because we are going through that rebirthing process and reconnecting with our brothers and sisters, our human family, our global family, so that we can have compassion for all beings and we can do our job, a human family, in making sure that the earth is what it was designed to be, and that is a beautiful place where all may live in love and joy. So when we do that, then we will see a change in what we're experiencing. So it's a change of heart that has to occur when we can feel what should not be happening to others, because the earth has plenty to support every life, and it's no excuse for us not sharing that which is here for all of us to partake in. And when we choose to do that, then we will see all the ills that have developed over time disappear. So this is where we're at, and this is why we're at where we're at. And certainly this is an opportunity for us to see the manifestation of the new earth in our lifetime. Like you say, you know, many of us grew up hearing, oh, the world's coming to an end, and we feel sad about that. But when something ends, that means something else is beginning. And what we want to begin is that beautiful new earth that is a place of joy and no suffering. That's what we want to begin. So we want the suffering to end. We want the sadness to end. We want the pain to end. So the end of that old earth is a good thing, and the beginning of the new earth is a good thing, because that's why we're here, to observe it happen and to help it happen. So one of the things that we're seeing change. And you and the men talked about it in the last men-only discussion, and that was the institution of marriage, foundation of the expansion of our family. We're seeing it fall apart, and it's falling apart for a reason, because it was not based on love and compassion for each other. It was based on many selfish things, many insensitive things. And so that old structure needs to end so that it can be rebuilt in its highest form. That is a reflection of the love of the Creator. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the reasons in the past people were marrying and why those reasons are no longer appropriate, and how we can help this next new younger generation that is poised to create something new, how we can help them in that process of redefining that beautiful union that is the foundation of the family. They can begin the process of creating and living in a new earth. We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and, of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all: race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Yes.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, both John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solutions Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And today we want to examine a thought. As we see something that has been a long-time institution struggle, we know that it is time for it to evolve to a higher state. And that is that institution of marriage. We know that there are many couples who are choosing not to get married in the formal sense where the state is giving them a license and yet they're forming families. There's less condemnation for people who are choosing to have children without being married in the legal sense. There are people who are choosing some unconventional kinds of relationships. You have a number of people who may have multiple families and not be legally tied to any of them, but they have children by several partners, both male and female. This is happening. And the condemnation that we used to see for this sort of thing is not as severe as it used to be because it's becoming more common. And much of it is because many people grew up in families that couples stayed together even though they were very unhappy, very incompatible, and sometimes very toxic, very hurtful to each other. And the children growing up in that environment didn't want to repeat that experience. So they figured, I will just be with someone that I love. If we have children together, we'll just raise the children. If we split, we just split. But I'm not getting entangled in that marriage thing because I don't want to go through what my parents went through. So there's some legitimate, legitimate truth to that feeling, because what we were doing in many instances were making survival decisions. At first, we had a situation where women didn't get prepared for self-maintenance outside the home. So she was expected to marry a man who would work and provide for her. And so what she had to do is basically find somebody who would take care of her. And that was the goal. And if a man married her and took care of her, then whatever else happened, whether he beat her or whatever, she really wasn't in a position to complain because she couldn't go and take care of herself. So that was kind of an ugly situation. Well, that changed pretty much after the last major war, in which they had to put women in the workforce to keep the economy going while the men were off killing people in other countries. That happened. That's what war is. However, once the men came back, the women still had the skills and were used to then handling things, managing their own money. So we couldn't really go back to that old method of dependency as a reason for getting together with someone. We went through a lot of transitions with that. A lot of marriages fell apart because it was no longer need-based. I don't need you, so I don't have to take whatever I don't like that you're doing. So we saw a lot of breakups, a lot of marriages that didn't last, a lot of painful breakups. And the children from those breakups, they didn't want to repeat that. And we also had a lot of other social constructs, and Brother Kareem, we've talked about this a lot, you know, the whole welfare system that pretty much destabilized families, gave women money for being single, but the catch was she couldn't have a man in her home, so many men end up basically being put out of their own home just so that their wives could get the government check. That was a very demasculating enterprise.
It was inhuman. It was inhumane.
It was quite inhumane. So you had generations of children growing up without that balance, that support, that base, that foundation of a two-parent household.
which had disastrous effects, and we know the statistics. What is it, 87% of people serving time in prison came from fatherless homes. So we know that that was a destructive element. A lot of men who did not learn some basic skills on how to survive, now reversing the situation. Now they're looking for a woman who can take care of them financially, and that becomes a means whereby they find a partner, and whether she's working or getting a government check, whatever the case may be, it's, again, that dependency syndrome. I need somebody to take care of me. I don't have the skills. I got a prison record. I can't get hired. There's a lot of families where the men have been destabilized and not prepared for a responsible manhood with skills, but they still want a loving relationship. And there are a lot of women who want a loving relationship, but they realize traditionally it's not happening the way their mothers and grandmothers may have had it with the man working. And so sometimes he's the house husband, she's out working, and then there's that power struggle. You know, the one who has the money is the one who tends to feel like, well, I make the rules because it's my money. So you see a lot of that happening in families where men may get thrown out the house, just like women used to get thrown out the house when they were the ones who weren't working. So the whole thing is ugly. And it needs to because it's not based on love and trust and mutual partnership where there's mutual respect. So
yes, you know, Almighty God says to us in the Quran that Satan threatens you with poverty. Satan threatens you with poverty. Yes. And that is how they're able to socially engineer and deconstruct the original, and put in place of it the artificial. There is an old scheme of faith. Kill the men and let the women live. Now, that killing, yes, there have been a horrendous amount of physical killing, the lynching and all of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, make him, to kill him is to deny him. Deny him the opportunity to produce, to be productive. Hold him out of certain industries. Deny him education. And how can I say, shortchange him so that he's not able to support his family. Then we shall step forward and say, well, we have financial relief for you, but the man has to go. That is, you know, that's one of the ploys that they have used. And it is through that materialism. They use it like a bait. One story in a Bible about Samson, it says that they put his eyes out. They heated up iron and put his eyes out. The iron is synonymous to materialism. We will have their interest on materialism, and they will lose their vision of self and their vision for their future. Then it will only be for the here and now. So these are schemes that have been utilized against us. And then give the man a mind, a playful mind, that he wants to be, you know, a ladies' man and all of that, you know, fancy cars and all of that, but have no responsibility and no concern over his mate. God created us as mates one to another. So these are things that we have to overcome and know that they did not derive from our original nature, that we have been seduced into this position that we are in. So praise be to Almighty God. These things need reforming. I'm grateful that you mentioned, because that financial part is a very, I utilized a statement that you made once. You know, and Gretchen, we praise Almighty God for you for having the female solution. I recognize for real that this broadcast here, the female solution, is designed to hear from the female. Now, you say, well, okay, we do need a male perspective. But you came to a conclusion based upon the conversations that the females had had as to what is the main cause of divorce. And you shared with us that the majority of women said it was financial issues and sexual frustration.
That was it. Those two things.
Financial issues. Yes. So how is that financial to, I mean, I want to hear from the females, if they would, to elaborate on that, please.
Well, we've got
to hear from you.
We've got several callers on the line, and I'm going to go to our phone line. And I want to ask this question because of what I've seen in so many broken homes, where the woman is upset because the man is not producing financially what he had in mind that a man is supposed to do, given all of the circumstances that happen in our society. And there's a lot of that men have that if they don't produce, then they're going to lose the love of the woman, which sometimes motivates men to come up with ways that are not legal in order to create the income that they need to maintain their family or their loved one. And then there's the sexual issue. And part of that comes from the idea that marriage means sexual exclusivity, even ownership of the other person's body, to the point where if you discover that they have been sexually intimate with someone else, that becomes grounds of ending the marriage. And I look at that, and there have been many high-profile celebrity marriages where they're ending divorce, oh, this person cheated, that person cheated. Is the notion that someone else's body belongs to you, and if they are intimate with someone else, they have somehow violated you. Is that the thing we are basing a union on? And is that really appropriate? Based on the fact that no one can own another's body. You know, there was a time when a woman would be stoned to death if she was intimate with someone who was not her husband. So even as we decide that that is inappropriate, is the thought behind it still inappropriate? That someone else has a right to determine what you do with your own body, and once you marry, that person actually owns your body. You know, it was just a few decades ago that a woman could even sue for rape by her husband because the idea was he owns her body. Most men have no problem with, oh, yeah, you know, this woman, if she has sex with another man, it's over. But it's conversely, his thought is, hey, well, you know, if I have sex with another woman, men will be men. So, you know, the inequality of thought of my body belongs to me, but her body also belongs to me, that's not really expressing mutual respect. And if marriage is something of free will, then are we really believing that someone's body belongs to us exclusively? Is that really what marriage is about, you owning someone? Can you really own another being? So is that a reason to dismantle a family and have your children grow up without the other spouse in their lives when we know it has such a devastating effect? 87% of those serving time in prison grew up in fatherless homes. So was it worth it to dismantle that relationship because someone may have been emotionally or physically involved with someone else? Think about this. We're going to go to our phone line because we really want to prepare our minds to think differently if we're going to create something different than what exists that isn't working. So let me first go to area code 773-737 and introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers. This is Mama D, Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Preparation, which is the word wisdom. You know, I'm very much intrigued by this conversation at this particular time because as Mother's Day is approaching, and my mother was a triplet, what are women doing? They are marching to kill babies in the womb so they will not become mothers. However, it's not just her body. When you get in a family way, you are part living sperm, part living egg, and part living what the sperm and the egg created called a living soul. And yet the husbands, all men are not rapists. All men are not, don't incest their daughters. Some of these men are husbands, but they are not in on the body part that is theirs. Why don't they have a right to say, it's not just your body. You had all kinds of ways to prevent yourself from becoming pregnant, including postponing a menstrual cycle for years. None of these things were available 49 years ago. And here the only thing you can think to do is continue a woman's right to choose. You should have chosen not to get in a family way, because family is the foundation of creation that keeps life going, keeps life in existence. But we are being, the wars replace the purpose of a woman. She had to go out and do a man's job because men had created war. Then they come back and they create laws that said a father can no longer be in the home. And if he wants the wife and the children to have a place to stay and where they could eat, he had to vacate the premises, not because he wanted to, but because he put the needs of his family above his own personal needs. And I will leave so they can survive. So we have had all of this interference, and especially what's going on now. Two men, they are passing a law now. It's called the John Lewis Right to Family Act that says any child in foster care, they must give them to homosexuals as a preference because they have a right to family. Well, then they also have the ability to create a family if they indeed have a right to family. But at the end of the day, when sperm meets egg, whether it's in a test tube or not, oops, there is. A living soul has begun to grow. And children are a heritage of God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Yet he has put a tenant. A living soul has provided for 9 months of residency, taking care of the food, the air, and the water. And yet the woman feels no remorse in breaking that lease because she has a right. She is part living sperm, part living egg, and part living what the sperm and the egg created, a man. Where is his voice? If you're going to put it to a vote, he is wants to protect that part that is his and that part that both of you all created, but he doesn't have a voice. And because she continues on with the illusion of a woman's right to choose, well, you're not in it alone anymore. You are a trinity. You are in a family way, and the man should step up and represent the family. During Resurrection Weekend, I was spiritually led to do a 3 days and three nights, no food and no water, fast in the spirit of Queen Esther, because some things come only through fasting and praying. And children are a heritage of God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's the bottom line. And on Savior's Day, Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about the problems of having more than one wife. He had obviously been that root, and he said, and my children, they love me. But he proclaimed that he had one wife. It's not that the word is out of order, because if you keep my commandments and my statutes, you'll have good success. We don't have good success because we are disobedient to the things that would give us good success. And it's not about owning a person's body. It is about preserving the foundation of civilization, which is the family. And yes, we have these loose women, as the Bible says, a harlot can be bought for a loaf of bread, but that adulteress stalks your very soul. This is the spirit of Jezebel that comes up and says, well, we got it going on, and we're just going to do our thing. That's why the world is in the condition that it's in, and 12-year-old boys, 11 years old, are hijacking cars because men have not stepped up to the plate and said, you are a child and I am a father, and you listen to me. I don't have to follow after you and ask my 3-year-old, well, what do you want to eat, baby? What do you want to wear, baby? It's not the God that's out of order. It's in disobedience to the God that is out of order. What do you think?
Well, Mama D, you've raised some issues that I would definitely love to address, because so much of what we see happening has to do with our beliefs about sexuality, about female sexuality, about male empowerment, about what is the purpose of the act of intimacy that opens the door for a soul to come through and experience the physical realm, and who are we responsible to when we choose to engage in that act. So we got to take a break, but I definitely want to come back and address the issues that you have raised, because that is kind of at the foundation of where our conflict lies. And what we see, like you pointed out, these young children that have shown absolutely no respect for life at all, in the carjackings, the robberies, what didn't happen in their upbringing, the reason why they are lacking in love for their fellow beings. What did we not give them that they're now showing they don't have in terms of love and compassion? So we'll be right back. We'll take some more calls.
Bye, Emma.
That's what Mama D said. Yes.
Yes, when we
come back, we have a caller on the AM360 studio board. So if we could open up their mic after the important public service announcement, they would appreciate.
Well, we'll be right back with more. And if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. We've got some callers also to press 1. And we're going to get all your statements. So hold on. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, as we take a look at the issue of a new definition of marriage. And we've had so many issues when it comes to sexuality and what happens when someone is intimate with someone outside of the marriage. Is that a real reason to break up a family when breaking up the family is so destructive? Financial issues, if someone doesn't make enough money, is that a reason to break up a family? Well, the government has certainly forced us into those kinds of conditions, saying if you don't have enough to support yourself, well, we'll help you, but you got to throw that man out, because otherwise he should be able to do it. So we've had a lot of shaming, a lot of blaming, anger. And Mama D, our fourth Saturday host, brought up some issues that we often hear, brought up a name from the Bible that we often have associated with a woman whose sexuality is attracting men, and the idea that her seductiveness is destructive. I want to ask the question, of course, we're going to go back to our callers, but is that thought for women to have about themselves and their sexuality? Is sexuality a negative? Or is it something that needs to be expressed with a higher spiritual understanding of its beauty so that it can be appreciated
Unmuted.
And not exploited or condemned? What's the highest form of human sexuality? And can that be the expression that we teach our children, which means removing condemnation, guilt, shame, and punishment, the divine expression of love between beings? How do we do that? We have to first purge that other understanding that makes it condemnable and punishable. And we have to reinstitute a different understanding that is in alignment with the Creator's love and compassion and kindness and unity. If we're uniting souls, and this act of unity opens a door to a soul to enter the physical realm, then what's the spirit with which we should engage in this act? Should it be one of fear of one's partner leaving them if they don't perform properly, or fear of being condemned for their actions or feelings? Should it be shame because they are attractive? Or should we have a higher spiritual understanding of sexuality as being a expression of the divine? How do we purge that old toxic belief about sex and ingest a healthier understanding that would hold our unions together for the right reasons? How do we do that? So we're going to go to our caller on American Muslim 360, and then we're going to take some callers on the female solution line. And we've had a comment here. Our Friday host, Beata, says, grand rising, topic, grand souls interacting for the good of all. Yes, souls interacting for the good of all. How do we teach that as the foundation of marriage when we have this toxic belief about sexuality that either it becomes a means of exploiting someone, manipulating someone, controlling someone, abusing someone, and it's actually a high form of toxicity? How to get rid of the toxicity in our belief about sexuality, and how do we rebuild a healthier bond in our intimacy so that it actually holds us together for the right reasons? So, Brother Kareem, if you can open the mic of your caller, and we'll get their thoughts.
Okay. Error code 312-671. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Well, in your Shalom. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Well, in your Shalom.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Minister Plump, I recognize your voice.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. We're in Yah. That means we have won. The basic and ultimate reality of everything and everybody is in God's will only, you know, which is really God's will is the word of God. And as a result, we have come to existence through the flesh as male and female, and he created them for his will. And creating the people, creating the family is number one. People, all people comes from family. So the first order is kind of simple. No matter what a brother or sister's faith or belief is in God, which should be God's will only, bottom line is to honor God and to honor your father and your mother and the elders is a way of life that we can share a Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, in a righteous way. And the greatest part of life is to do what is right. And what is right is what God created man and woman to be, and that is family. And each family is really should be promoting peace, love, unity, marketing people. And remember that it really takes in the roots, and roots equals to 23, it takes a whole village to raise one child. And no one, as Mama D. Love say, can raise a kid. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And when you
right
think
on,
of...
You are right
when
on
we
point,
think,
Minister Plump.
A Minister Plump,
right on point.
I got a quick question.
What I want to say is that, yes, we know what Allah said. We know what God said. But a lot of people are not doing that. A lot of us can read and we can recite, but a lot of us are not doing. Allah says to us in the Quran concerning zina. Zina is adultery. It says, do not go near it. Do not go near it. Now, that means that there is something that precedes the act. We are cautioned to lower our gaze. To lower our gaze. What does that mean? Do not put your mind in an alluring circumstance. Do not whet the lustful appetite. Any man that can leave his family, and leave the home and go to another woman's bed, his heart has died. His heart has
Hallelujah.
Died.
Hallelujah.
I have a question.
So,
I have a question, and I got a couple more callers on the line here. I'm sure they're willing to give their opinion as well. I have a question, though. The thought has been put forth that the act of intimacy is one that we do deliberately, and we do. It's a choice. It's not like, you know, you suddenly lose your mind and can't help yourself. Every act is a deliberate choice based on whatever desired outcome you want to have. And when we do things bring good to others, you know, that's considered a high spiritual incentive. We're seeking to do good. And when we are involved with someone on a physical, intimate level, we want whatever benefit comes to that, whether it is the physical sensation, the emotional feeling of love, acceptance, power, whatever it is we're believing we're going to get out of that act. But it's a conscious act.
Yeah.
What
happens when people engage in this act with someone with whom, maybe let's say they have made a marital commitment to someone, but for whatever reason, the emotional, the physical sense of well-being, they're not getting it in their marital relationship. And so they find themselves involved with someone outside of that marriage. What should be the appropriate response when they realize that their emotions, their physical attraction is elsewhere? What is the appropriate response? Like I said, in the past we've had where women who have done this have been physically killed. Men, not so much so in terms of being killed or physically beaten, even though some may think that is a deterrent. But the reality is that your physical intimate relations are a free will choice. They are a free will choice. Is there anybody other than the two people involved that should have anything to say about what happened?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, there are people that do have a right. The children have a right.
Okay. Does a religious institute or a government have a right?
The mother-in-law have a right. The father-in-law have a right. Because you are threatening the sanctity of the family. And as you have said, I'm quoting you, that sometimes men engage in that act on just a purely physical level. But with the female, according to what I've heard you say, she engages in that act with her spirit. There's a deeper intimacy that when she engages in the sexual act. And I caution us. Look, they are putting porn on regular television now.
Yeah.
Any comedy. So when God cautions us, be in control of your sight. Do not go near it. That means don't even... We have to be discriminating on what enters our thinking and our mind and our vision. It affects our feeling. So it's not just, this is a very serious issue here. And let me offer one tidbit and I'll stop because we have other callers on the line. I have suggested that married couples, you need to talk about your sexuality. You need to have a serious discussion about what pleases you, what doesn't, all of that. Private conversation between the husband and the wife. Not just don't even address it. And there is frustration. I'm not saying that we should have these conversations publicly. I am saying to the married couples, you discuss everything else. Why not discuss that a major part of your relationship? That's all I'm saying. But I'm saying this here. We need to discriminate where we place our vision and put ourselves in situations and circumstances that puts us near to fornication, near to adultery. It's not something that we can't control, as you said. It's a conscious act.
Yeah.
But what happens consciously, it gets its birth in the unconscious. It gets its birth in the unconscious part. And then the conscious is triggered to move toward that thing. So don't place yourself in circumstances, situation, visualization that leads to breaking that trust that you swore to Almighty God, to the Creator, that you would maintain. The commitment is not to that individual. It is to Almighty God. It is the sacred bond of marriage. So these are precautions that we're offering here. Don't come near to sin. Don't come near it. I'll stop right there. We have some callers here on the line, two of them lined up.
Yes, well, I'm going to open up another mic and give our callers a chance to speak to Peter. I have a thought I'd like to share for us to consider. Let me go to area code 706202. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Assalamu alaikum. And this is Brother Kwame sitting here in stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek Nation in Eatonton, Georgia. And it's a very powerful show. And you began talking about a new earth. The earth is in perfect condition. We are out of order as human beings. The earth is doing what it's doing. If the earth was doing what we are doing as humans, we would not be alive, have anything to eat or live off of. If plants decided to divorce each other, if animals started doing the things that humans doing, we would have a different earth. We are out of order. It's not the earth. It's the human beings that have been misguided and becoming more detrimental to each other than even the animals on this planet, because we have made some of the animals extinct. We have made human beings extinct. We're talking about marriage and merging. Animals don't have to go through all of this. They follow the order of nature. Lions have pride. Wolves have packs. All of that is balanced. We are out of order as human beings. This is what we need to do, is make some new human beings. It's not the earth. It's us as humans. We are out of order. The order of the universe is there's universal order, there's cosmic order, and there's natural order. Man has created disorder. And in this disorder is what this discussion is talking about. In merging and doing, because in nature, the female chooses the male, the strongest of it, to reproduce the strongest of its species. We are like attempting to be like rabbits, or we're now breeding like they have done with the wolves. They've taken the wolves and breeded them into different dogs. That's why women call men dogs, is because they're breeders. All they're doing is breeding. And what we have to begin to do is to come back and look at what they now have in the psychological dictionary, DSM-5, is what's called nature deficit disorder. We're totally, most of us are being totally disconnected from the natural order. Till we get back into order and get back some of our natural instincts and stop technologically thinking that this artificial intelligence is so great. There was a wood wide web before they were human beings. There was a wood wide web before they were human beings. We are the youngest on this planet. The trees and the plants know how to communicate and reproduce, and the mother trees feed the young saplings through a network of fiber optics. So what we're talking about is something that we have to go back and look at. How did our nomadic life reproduce such powerful people at one time, and we are weakening ourselves as we call ourselves more intellectual, but I differ, because we're creating and allowing someone to create disorder in God's orderly world. That's my comment.
Well, I thank you so much. I'm Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. I'm going to take another call before I make a comment.
And I'm going to go to area code 336-350. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. And your
greetings, Dr. Lateef.
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings. This is Paris calling you from Tucson, Arizona, which many of the listening audiences may not know this. Tucson and Phoenix has one of the highest trafficking rates for indigenous women being murdered, stolen, missing, and put into human sex trafficking trades and all the whole nine yards. However, I'm grateful to be on this planet with all of you, and Brother Kwame, you are right on target. It really makes me sad to see, even in the facility that I'm in, things that I see around me is sad. It is sad. Just like Brother Kwame said, we as two-leggeds, and many of us are not human beings, we're other. We've been tampered with through all kinds of things, and it's wreaking havoc. And if you really pay attention, you would say, something is wrong with this, but we are so distorted, it's normal. You can't even fathom how insane this is, you know? I even looked at my great-grandchildren, and I'm like, what happened? What happened? So thank you for allowing me to have this. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Thank us. You're correct. Thank us.
The universe for...
Naima?
Mike, yeah.
We have about three people lined up here on AMA.
Okay, so we're gonna go to after the break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, now's the time to call 515-605-9325 and press 1. As you said, we've got three callers. We've got another caller on the female solution. So now you got to be brief so we can make sure we get everybody's thoughts. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, persons, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are back.
We are back. You're listening to, watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, talking about a new definition of marriage. We've got a bunch of callers on the AM360 line. I'd like to throw out this thought real quickly. Papa Kwame talked about the fact that nature is all in order, and Mama AZ pointed that out as well. There are only two species on the entire planet that commit the act of rape, and that is chimpanzees and humans. The only species that engages in forced sexual intercourse. That definitely is an aberration, definitely an imbalance, something out of alignment with nature. But what if we did not have these two things within the human family? If we did not have a system where people had to fight for their share of what the earth provides in this artificial created banking system where money is exchanged for things, what if we didn't have that and people just naturally shared the abundance of the earth? And the way the animals do, basically, you know, you get your portion, you have your land that you live on, and you raise your family in peace. You can keep them getting eaten if you're, you know, of course, an animal that is preyed upon. But certainly we did not have that. And if we lived as perhaps the ancient people lived without this current artificial system of exchange being an impediment to us being able to survive. What if we didn't have that? And if we didn't have institutions regulating who can have sex with who, and if people were allowed to form their family groups based on love, based on an understanding of the responsibility to raise children, as do other animal species, what if we had that? You didn't have to have, you know, the state deciding if, you know, whether or not this person can marry that person, or didn't have a religious institution saying, well, you have to have this ceremony first. What if people were just allowed to live in a way that it was based on love and no one else's decision? Would we see a more normal, healthy unity between men and women? Husbands and wives, families. Would we see that if we removed all the other things that create an impediment to us to be able to love in a healthy manner? Let me just throw that thought out there. And if you can take a couple of calls from your switchboard, and then we'll take a couple more from our switchboard, Brother Kareem, and give us your thoughts.
Yeah. Okay, error code. Oh, she has left the. All right, we will move forward. Erica, 313879. Welcome to The Female Solution. Erica, 313879.
What you know by the iron is naked, no. I got you right there. This is Luke Mott representing Islam out of Masjid 28 in the Gateway City. There is no God but God. And just like he put the sun and moon out there and make day follow the night and put you together when you was in your mama's stomach, he ain't through with you, but you got to do the right thing. Iqra, read, and you will know. And that's all I want to put out there. Ramadan, Mubarak. Like the greatest said, there is no God but God. And those three guys,
yes,
who love the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, ain't got nothing on the Creator. I'm talking about the one that put the sun and moon out there and put you together and mama's family and heaven on earth is at the feet of the mother. Stay alive. Islam.
Luke Ma.
Yes,
sir. We thank you. We
but I'm out the way. Read.
Yes, sir. We have read, but we are still. But look at the condition we're in. We want solutions, inshallah. Air code 863-812. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Air code 863-812. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
This is Brother Kareem
from the Tampa Bay area. I'm enjoying the broadcast as I usually do. Enjoying the number one station in the nation that represents solid truth. I'm grateful this morning to be a part of the listening audience. My purpose this morning for calling in is to try to get some valuable information from Brother Kareem. I just need your contact information, if possible, when I'm having an emergency, when I'm propagating Islam and speaking on the prophet. Peace and blessings be upon him. And maybe at a start point, I can possibly contact you and you can help bail me out, inshallah, if possible. You see my full number, right, on the screen?
Yes, sir. What I'll do, I have no problem in giving my number over the air. I have no problem with
that. Yeah.
I have no problem with that. I know how to. You know,
the reason why I asked you that, hold on, let me pull over to the side on my drive truck, but I can write your number down. All right, hold on, and let me pull over here, on the side here.
It's like Brother Kareem, maybe you can text it to him.
All right.
That way he doesn't have to pull off the road. And we got a couple of calls.
I'm good.
Well, that way, you know,
I'm off the road.
Fantastic.
All right, you have pen and a paper ready?
Yes, sir, I'm ready.
Okay. It is 636-980-6262-16. Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, that's 636-980-6216.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's good, brother. I sure appreciate that, inshallah. I'll give you a call in the very near future. Inshallah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Be mubarak to you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum salam.
May I take a call online? And then if you have another call, you can go back to the AM360 switchboard. Area code 773-521. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
This is Cookie James. Okay. When they were on the plantation and Abraham Lincoln sent in a black military to Freedmen's, who was supposed to get 40 acres after doing it, went in there and asked, and he signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And they told the slaves, you're free, get in the wagon. Half of the slaves got in the wagon and half of them stayed on the plantation. The plantation was a human trafficking situation where they were breeding us like animals.
Mm-hmm.
The other half who left went and created towns, black towns, over 600. I grew up in a town farm that the division that you just said, I grew up like that. So we can't bring everybody. Everybody's not going. Most people have been corrupted. Most people have decided, I'm going to go with the way I'm going to live like Satan wants me to live. This is all I have. I don't need no husband. I got a little child. I'm going to get the money with the state. I'm going to suffer. Okay? But I'm teaching my daughter a new life. See, I'm working on my daughter. My daughter's not going to be in this mess. I'm the president of the five civilized tribal indigenous government who practice the kingdom of God on this planet, which the men, we run it. We are the heads. See, that's the new thing that's coming, that's here now. And we're going to usher in, like Kwame said, you pretty much got to just fold your cards with these older people. You got to just fold it. You got to work on the new. You got to work on the new. Because most people out here are giving advice on relationships, and they're not in relationships. They see the problem. Oh, yeah, most people are giving all these advice and opinions, and they're not even in that situation. But what I'm saying is I speak for myself. I always kind of bring it back to myself. I'm teaching my daughter a new way. I'm letting her know about the lies, about not getting into peer pressure, smoking weed, and getting all that, you know what I'm saying? I'm saving mine, and I'm lucky as a man I got my children in my life because I understand this system, the democracy, it is now taking slaves. And you know the ones who became the slaves? I hate to say this. The ones who became the slaves are the ones who took the vaccine. That they committed to, you want to work for my government? Yeah, we'll take this poison. That's what just happened. You want to work for my government?
A whole nother show in itself.
It's dealing with the family. If you are controlled, Kwame says that animals are controlled by nature, okay? Mm-hmm. Most people are controlled by religion, and so family suffers. You see? Who going to be the head, the woman or the man?
Well,
that's all in religion. That's all in the world. If you don't have to deal with that, if you together, love is the control.
We got to take one more call. You brought up points, though. We got to take one more call before our time. Before our time goes up, we got to take one more call. I got another one on your switchboard. All area code 407-70.
No, I don't see anyone.
And I believe we've got Viata on the line, our Friday host. And, Kubi raised an issue regarding religions being in control of families, which and we know indigenous people didn't, they formed families. They didn't have the state telling them how to form family. They didn't have the church or a religious institution telling them how to form families. They did it as part of the culture, and families made those decisions, and they didn't, from my research and even talking to indigenous people, they didn't have the levels of disruption that we have right now. Things definitely were more harmonious with nature. But Viata, what do you see as what is needed to create the kind of harmonious relationships that are more in alignment with the higher vibration of the new earth based on love.
Thank you, Naima. You know, Kwame and Kufi really hit on what I think are some important topics. Number one, nature deficit disorder. If a person today is not out in nature communicating with the cosmic energies, the animals, then there's something lacking, in my opinion, on how their relationship and their marriage are going to be fulfilling and healthy. And then Kufi brought out the fact that we still got people who have are on the plantation. They got slave minds. And so what I hear when it comes to marriage and what's the right marriage, it's about communication in my mind. I was in a marriage for almost 40 years, and it ended very pleasantly with a divorce. It was no harsh or anger. And so I'm learning, being a single woman, that nature is my new husband, is nature first and foremost, because my relationship with, quote, G-O-D is really a relationship with the creative beings, the creative energy that the universe has given us to be balanced and grounded. You got people commenting on here who are not in a healthy relationship. If you're in a relationship that's codependent, that's not healthy. So when I see that, I don't label things right or wrong anymore, good or bad, because I'm in the fourth dimension most of the time. Fourth dimension is where we see everything as a lesson.
Yeah.
It's not right, wrong, good or bad. It's a lesson. Whether it's the death of a child, the divorce of a husband, a wife, it's a lesson. So people who are still labeling things right, wrong, good, bad, I see them as in the third dimension. They're not good or bad. They're not wrong or right. They're just in the third dimension. And that is what the last 2 years, in my mind, have been about, is helping us see our need to move forward out of this duality that we've all been in, all these wars, all this killing, all this violence, all these divorces, all that. If we don't see the need to move out of this third dimension reality, duality, then we're going to suffer. We're going to see suffering. And I have two funerals to go to this month. And I'm realizing transitions are going to be happening at a rapid pace this year because people are remaining in the third dimension instead of moving along with the planets, as Kwame and Kufi point out, and realizing that our minds, our mental illness. You know, I have to say this. Naomi Judd just passed away, and her family said that she died of mental illness. Well, we're finding out she committed suicide. And that reality, to me, is where we kind of are in our society. People have mental illnesses, and that's part of the problem in marriages, is that we haven't been able to come out of codependent relationships. We're still in these relationships that are toxic, and yet we're staying in them, and then we expect everything to go smoothly. So we do have a lot of work to do. Thank you, Naima and Brother, for this show today, because it's something that we need to talk about, because communication is really the key to me of any relationship. Communication and loving relationships, spiritual energy exchanges on any level. Africa culture is all about men having more than one wife, but we in the West are like, you want to kill somebody if they have another relationship outside of their marriage. So we got to come out of this duality, right, wrong, good, bad, and just realize this is a new day. Fifth dimension, fourth dimension reality is very different. Let's all try and move into something more loving, more peaceful, less violent, and less conflicting. Thank you, Naima, and that's my comment.
Well, thank you, Viata. And Deborah says on Facebook, yes, yes, Viata. So she is agreeing. Well, I know we're about to wind up, and this is always a challenge when we look at relationships, because what we've all been raised in is misinformation, hostility, unloving environment, not based on the loving respect of other lives, and that's what has to change. And the things that we want to have in terms of a union that is harmonious, if the foundation is right, then you don't need control by an outside government force. You don't need control by an outside religious force. You don't need condemnation or punitive matters, because the foundation, what did we say in the beginning? Returning to our natural state of purity. When that exists, then the love relationship is harmonious, because we're not misusing sexuality as a means of control or manipulation or abuse. We're not misusing our skills and talents as a means of control or manipulation or abuse. One person trying to control others because they have the money and you don't, so you do what I tell you. That's not a loving relationship, whether it's the male or the female. A partnership is a blend. Mm-hmm. You work as one. We can only have oneness when it's inside of us. The understanding of oneness of the Creator, we are all one. We are one entity working together for a common goal. And when we have that, we don't need outside entities controlling our relationship, because it's controlled from within, spirit of the Creator. Anything other than that becomes...
You know, Naima?
Which is why it doesn't work.
Naima?
All right.
We have to be aware. You know, we have to be aware that there is an enemy to mankind. There is an enemy to...
No, we do one thing, and that's whispering. You choose to hear or not hear. It's not... It's not a power. It's a decision to listen to the lower vibrational voice or to ignore it.
If I may, you know, he is more clever than us.
He makes wrong fair seeming.
He makes wrong acceptable. He makes wrong fair seeming.
So
we have to be aware that we are under influences that go beyond our conscious thought and enters our subconscious, and it gets a birth there, and over time, we begin to act out of what has been slipped in, supplanted in our subconscious. We are at the full height now. They aren't sneaking it in anymore. They're putting it right in our face. Men marrying men, women marrying women. The no need of the sacred bond of marriage seems fair seeming, but God, the Creator, He identifies for us. He helps us. He identifies for us what is good and what is bad. We cannot rely on our own thinking. We have to rely on the Creator. When the Creator says something is bad, we should accept that. We should, because He wants the best for us. But when we receive messages discouraging the sacred bond of marriage, messages that send the idea that you can just have sex with anyone and it should be all right, God prohibits that. We have to trust in God's judgment, not our own, and especially not the opinion of the majority of the people. God says, if you move along the line with the majority, you will be off of the straight way. So we have a sincere advisor, and that is the Creator. But I'm hearing now. Let all of that go. Just really know, let's just have a free-for-all. Let's not respect the rights of inheritance, which the sacred bond of marriage, it inculcates that. The rights of the orphan, the children, they have rights. They have rights. And the sacred bond of blood relationship, these are things that Almighty God is instructing us with. And don't just follow the regular run of this world. This world has been influenced by Satan, the enemy of the human being.
So I have
to understand and realize that.
I have a question.
I'll stop right there, my sister. No, yes, please.
Because Minister Plum said something earlier. He said, God's will only. But with all of the hundreds of sects of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and all the various belief systems, and everybody saying that they know what God's will is and not agreeing with each other on what that is. As a matter of fact, we even have wars over people saying, I represent God's will. And they're killing each other believing that they are correct. So that being the reality, and we only got 90 seconds.
Let me say this. The interfaith movement is growing. We are agreeing with each other. The interfaith movement is healthy and strong on this earth. The interfaith movement. We are not warring against each other. We are agreeing with each other. We're sitting down at the table of humanity. I must go. I've got about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful broadcast, Naima. But I have to sign off. As-salamu alaykum to you and everyone.
Wa alaykum salam. And we thank all of you for your participation in this session. As always,
we've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.